All right. What's up, everybody? What's up, everybody? Can't talk today. Welcome to this week's Pillows and Beer, back to you on the radio instead of live here in the Hall Wine Studio. Joining me, my bestie, as always, Austin Kroll. What's up, Austin?
That was a good one, dude. What's up, everybody? What is everybody? What is everybody? What is up, everybody? It feels good to be podcasting again, Craig, as much fun as the live shows are. I just like when you and I get to shoot the breeze, talk about everything, anything, and nothing sometimes.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm glad we sat down. I know we're both going into a busy weekend, which we'll get to. What's the deal with Olivia Rodrigo? She's pretty well liked, right? Or is there any scandal around her? Because that song just gets me going.
I don't think there's any scandal around her, but I don't like, you know. I mean, it would have popped up, right? It would have popped up in someplace. No, I think that she is just great.
I think she's a hot commodity right now. I think she's doing really well. Well, good for Olivia. Anyway, that song was fun. Yeah,
good for her.
We're popping on here. Austin's about to head to Napa. What are you doing in Napa, Austin?
Yeah. So once again, Hall Wine is having a Cabernet cook-off, and lucky enough to where. I mean, I'm gonna toot my own horn. No, well, I shouldn't. No, wait, it's the opposite of tooting my own horn. So Ed O'Neill, right? You know who that is? The dad in
Modern Family.
Modern Family.
The top dad. The main. Of the family. Yeah,
the one married to Gloria. Yes. Right? Isn't her name Gloria? Yeah. He was supposed to go to be one of, you know, the four or five guest judges at this Cabernet kickoff, and he had to pull out, and so. Lisa and Catherine thought of us, wanted you to come too, Craig, but Craig has his own thing. And so, you know, they're flying us out there. They're putting us up just like first class all the way, and just said that the competition should just be so much fun on Saturday. She was like, look, we have all these things planned. And then Saturday, I mean, it's 1,000-person, you know, ticketed event. It's all sold out, and it's just a blast. So now Shep is coming as well with Taylor.
That sounds fun.
It should be a lot of fun. Yeah, I've never been to Napa, and we were supposed to go, Craig, remember? And it was literally right when Napa was on fire. And so we, you know, we emailed them, and we were like, hey, we understand that y'all are dealing with a lot, because they were super nice about it still, weren't they, Craig? They were like, you guys can come out still if, you know, you want to. And we were like, yeah, that seems a bit just like insensitive when like your neighbor's vineyards are on fire.
Yeah, it just didn't work out. I've never been to Napa either, and wine is one of our favorite things. And so hopefully I'll get a chance to go out there, and it should be fun. I will be in Scottsdale, or I would be out there with you.
I know.
You Chicks in the Office with, we're going to do a podcast in Scottsdale with Chicks in the Office. Yeah. So
like a live thing, like we've been doing.
Yeah, so I guess Rhea and Fran are on tour too. They're doing like their West Coast tour. I think they're in San Diego tonight or yesterday. And, you know, I was just there in New York, and they were like, hey, I know this is random, which I think we should start doing on the next leg of our tour, because, I mean, what did it hurt? What did they have to lose to ask us? And I was like, you know what? I've always wanted to do Scottsdale. Might as well just come out.
Yeah, you know, once again, it's one of those things where if you have like a free weekend and friends are asking you to come out and to have some fun, it kind of seems like a no-brainer. And you know, that's how I felt about Napa. But man, that'll be a blast. We definitely should figure out if we can have some fun friends come on with us, because we were just trying to figure it out. You know, we were just trying to figure it out, you know, getting our bearings, getting everything straight. And considering that we just had so much fun, like, I definitely think that we could bring out guests in different places for like 10, 15 minutes, or, you know, who knows? I mean, knowing us, it'll be like a 30-minute thing.
Yeah. I mean, it's, yeah, I know. We don't do anything quickly.
No.
Chicago was our last tour stop, and it was just as fun as the other ones.
How fun was that? That was so fun.
It's always fun to meet unexpected fans too, like Whitney's buddy, the drummer from a band called Anthrax, which I guess is heavy metal, right?
heavy metal, which is right up Whitney's alley. And so Whitney's been texting me about this guy for weeks. And then finally, the morning of the show, he was like, hey, man, once again, you know, can you put my buddy Charlie on the list? And I was like, oh, yeah, yeah. You know, and so I texted Nick, and Nick put his name on. And they were, you know, him and his girlfriend were so excited to come and meet us. And it was just cool. It was just cool.
What's her name? She's a singer, too. She tagged us in something.
I actually was DMing with her a little bit, asking her if she had fun. She was like, oh, my God, so fun. And the most awesome thing, Craig, is that she was like, so is that whole show just like, you know, spontaneous? And I'm like, yeah, well, you know, Nick kind of like he comes up with slides, and some of the slides are certainly topics that we've talked about on the podcast, you know, before that, like we revisit, but it's always fun to have like a new and kind of hot take about them. And so, yeah, I was like, yeah, you know, the whole show is meant to be just like, you know, funny, spontaneous banter between Craig and I. And she was like, that is impressive as shit. And I was like, thank you.
Well, thank I'm glad you. She liked it. What's her, look at your DMs. What's her name again? Cause someone might listen to her band.
Her name is Carla Harvey, and she is in a band called the Butcher Babies.
Check them out. And then we met their friend too. It was great. Hey, revisiting, have you been to Scottsdale? Because I've always wanted to go to the Waste Management Tournament.
No, funny enough, Craig, I was supposed to go to my buddy's bachelor party in Scottsdale, but our first leg, or like our first four stops, were during that weekend. So we were in New York and then Philly. And so, yeah, I had to unfortunately not go to the bachelor party. But that's okay, because I'm going to the wedding in the Bahamas in a couple weeks. But no, to answer your question, no, I have not.
That's right. We, Austin and I both went to the gym today, which trying to get on track now that we're home a little bit.
We're not home though, Craig, because we're both leaving tomorrow. It's tough. It's so tough because, I mean, I know that you've been going like crazy, especially because your girlfriend lives in New York. And so you go and visit her, you know, often, right? If like you're flying back from somewhere, it's like you fly there for like a day or two, or before we go somewhere, you fly in because it's such an easy flight. And I've been doing the same thing, you know, sans the like going to New York for a long period of time. But I mean, I counted it on the calendar, and since Winterhouse, wait, it's been announced, right? So since Vermont, I have been home in my house for a combination of 13 days. That was 8 or 9 weeks ago, man. So like it's been super tough to get into any sort of routine. So going to the gym today felt really, really good. I don't know about you, but like I left and I was like, oh, I'm a whole new man. I'm a fit guy again. You know, obviously not a single thing has changed. So it just felt good.
So after though, we went and, we eat at a place that we won't name, but it's just great food for after the gym. And the girl that works there is such a sweetheart. But she told us last time, she was like, well, don't tip on the computer because the boss, like my owner, just keeps all the tips. And so we've been giving her cash. And Austin today was like, went to hit the computer screen. And he was like, oh, that's right. We don't tip on here. We're doing cash because your boss keeps them. And her face went like white. And she was like, he's right back there. But
yeah, she was like, right over there. I was like, oh no, blink twice if you need me to save you. Like, seriously.
Well, it's so fucked up because it's illegal. And then when we sat down at the table, I actually showed Austin this lawsuit in Texas where they this old barbecue joint was ordered to pay like almost $900,000 in tips, like in owed tips and overtime, which I hate hearing about that, but I was like,
Craig, I feel like maybe you should take it upon yourself to,
Yeah. I mean, I was thinking that, and here's the thing, like she would lose her job, right? If she became the plaintiff, and you wouldn't get paid for a while. So it's one of those things, like it's kind of a risk. And obviously if it continues to happen, but maybe like we make a phone call, and if we figure out a way to do it without her getting in trouble, then we can scare them into like,
I mean, you're right. That is so strange that she said that. And like, I kept on asking her questions about it last time. I was like, wait, what do you mean? right? Because I couldn't, like, the, like, you know, naiveness in me just couldn't believe that what she was saying. I was like, so what are you saying exactly? And finally Craig was like, Austin, she's saying exactly what you think that she's saying. You just can't wrap your brain around it. And I was like, no. So hold on, break this down for me. You're telling me that you don't get computer tips? She was like, I do not get computer tips. And I was like, okay, hold on, back up. So you're telling me, that's unbelievable. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, and it's crazy. And it's kind of eye-opening for people. You know, a lot of times people don't do what they're supposed to do. And, you know, you would just think the owner of a company pays his workers the tips that they earn, but they don't always. So, yeah, we will revisit this because I'm not sure what... I get what everyone's thinking, or a lot of people thinking. The idealist approach is like, this shouldn't be happening. We need to do something about it. The realistic approach is, if we do something, she's probably going to lose her job. So
we don't know what she makes hourly either, Craig. I mean, I'm guessing not, you know, like an eye-opening number, but like, if she's not getting tips or those tips, then hopefully, right, she's making like $13 to $15 an hour?
Well, yeah, but it doesn't take away from the fact that you're not allowed to keep tips.
Right. No.
This is basically the example. If we put a tip option on our iPads at Sewing Down South, you would think that you were tipping Jack or Madison or whoever was working.
Sure.
The last thing people would think is that it was just an extra way for me to make an additional like 20% of a sale.
Right.
Like, that's fucked up.
Right.
And not cool. But anyway, so then we came home and
I was like, where is Craig gonna go with this next?
I don't know.
So then we ate lunch and then we came home, as one does after the gym. Hold on, Craig. Something that I wanna, you know, mention that I see that Nick wrote here. And it's awesome because we started out the podcast so hot and we were trending like, you know, top 20. And, you know, there's so many podcasts out there. And we know that all of you have so many options to listen to. I mean, a podcast is not necessarily like a new and groundbreaking thing. But Pillows and Beer is once again rated in the top 200 again and top 100 in TV and film globally. So, Craig, our fans, actually, that deserves a little, you know, round of applause. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
It comes in and out. It's like it gets, you know, muffled with here, but maybe like on your end it sounds great. Maybe on your end it sounds great. But that's awesome, man. So that's important, and thank you all so much for choosing to tune in to Pillows and Beer every week.
Yeah, and you know, we haven't had any guest on either in a while, which is us. And
it's true.
Trying to stay consistent, even though we're all over the place. I love that I say we're home when we get like two nights here, but.
No, it's so true, man. I mean, being busy is good. It's definitely good because, like, you know, idle hands is like a dangerous thing, right? But being on the move constantly is, you know, keeping your mind busy and moving and grooving. It's fun. And then we get to tell you guys about our adventures and you get to, you know, live with them and be updated. I mean, that's the whole reason that Craig and I said that we wanted to start a podcast, because we're on, okay, well, now it's different because Craig, we've recently been on too much television, but it used to be Southern Charm only. And the gap between being on TV and being off was like so vast that we were like, maybe there are people out there that want to know what we're up to in the off season.
Yeah. And I'm glad, you know, we've taken it from our drunken Instagram lives that you all watch to a more organized platform sometimes on here. All right. We're going to take a quick commercial break and we'll be right back after a quick word from our best friend sponsors.
This episode is brought to you by Gooder. Gooder makes $25 active sunglasses for anyone. Listen, Craig, we live in the low country. We go on boats a lot, or we're on the move a lot. And I'm not always going to bring around a designer pair of sunglasses with me because I will lose them without fail. So it's important to have really good and durable sunglasses that look like designer glasses, but aren't, right? And then what I do is I buy like, you know, four or so pairs of them so that I have a bunch just kind of sitting there on my kitchen table, so that when I leave the house, I just kind of pick a pair. And look, these sunglasses with names like It's All in the Hips and Flamingos on a Booze Cruise, I know that you'll find a pair that speaks to you. Try them out and treat yourself to a pair or two. Gooder is going to give you 15% off your entire order. Go to gooder.com. That's gooder, GOODR.com/pillowsandbeer, and get 15% off when you use code pillowsandbeer at checkout. All orders over $50 get free shipping in the US. Again, that's 15% off with code pillowsandbeer at GOODR.com/pillowsandbeer. Look good, get gooder.
All right, everyone, if you run an e-commerce business, or if you've ever dreamed of it, you know that classically, typically in the past, there's huge advantages that big businesses get. They get privileges reserved for the top dogs because of funding, big investors, all that stuff. But now, because of ShipStation, you are an equal. If you run an e-commerce business, you probably feel like it's about time people stop treating e-commerce giants better just because they're bigger. And you're absolutely right. That's why myself, Sewing Down South, loves that ShipStation gives e-commerce sellers of all sizes, whether it was 3 years ago when I started or now, access to the same deeply discounted rates usually reserved for Fortune 500 companies. ShipStation is already trusted by over 100,000 sellers. Look, just like me, if you are terrified of dealing with international shipping, don't be. ShipStation makes it a breeze to ship anywhere around the world, and we have taken advantage of that, and you can too. So scale away. ShipStation can handle it. Don't let the big guys keep all the good discounts to themselves. Sign up using promo code PILLOWSANDBEER for a free 60-day trial today at ShipStation.com and start saving with every shipment. That's two whole months of discounted shipping absolutely free. Trust me on this. Just go to ShipStation.com, click on the microphone at the top of the page, and type in Pillows and Beer. ShipStation, make ship happen. All right, welcome back to this episode of Pillows and Beer. But hey, when we got back from the place we were eating, where, you know, that guy should catch a case, basically, we turned on our TVs to see the kind of the case of the decade right now.
I am so excited that you brought this up next, because I was hoping that your mind was exactly where mine was. It was like, all right, let's go straight to this.
Well, I mean, look, the thing is there have not been a lot of live broadcasted or live televised, you know, court cases in the last decade. I mean, one of the last ones I remember watching is Casey Anthony, and that was what, 20 years ago?
I don't even remember, but I know that OJ's was viewed by like 80 million people live or something crazy, like, or like his verdict, you know, the verdict was viewed by 80 million people. So we're of course talking about Johnny Depp and Amber Heard. And it's tough to not, it's tough to have it not have caught your eye, right? I mean, this case is super public. And so, Craig, this is great that you know more about the law proceedings than I do. And so one of my main questions is, why is the public privy to these court hearings? Like, why, like, are we able to, and all of our listeners able to, like, know every detail and like watch the court case? I don't understand. Like, it should be incredibly private, right?
Well, yeah, and that's how most European countries do it. Now, the idea behind it is basically this is how our court system was set up, and when everyone was considered, you know, basically innocent until proven guilty, we obviously know that's not the case these days. You know, people post something online and, you know, basically the first thing people read is what they believe a lot of times now. So these proceedings, you know, you can get them sealed. I mean, shit, the case that should have been the biggest one in the world to have ever been broadcasted is the Maxwell lady, the child sex trafficking.
Maxwell lady. Let's talk about Johnny Depp and Amber Heard. Okay, you're talking about all these other crazy cases.
It's hard not to have an opinion, right?
But no, shit, of course.
It's so tough to publicly have an opinion now. I will say this. I remember reading about this years ago when it first came out, and I had a bad feeling about it. I just did. You know, we've all had, you know, we've all lived through crazy experiences in our lives. And I will say, most of the time, or more times than not, it is the girl that's in, you know, a shitty relationship or shitty situation. But there are cases in which the girl's the crazy one. And I remember reading about this years ago and just being like, I don't know if this tracks. I just don't know if this tracks.
Yeah. And, you know, the even more terrifying thing is, and don't for, you know, into, like, we're going to dive more into this, and don't for 1 second think that, like, you know, Craig and I are just like, you know what, you know, the man is right and the woman, it is just that it's terrifying that the things that she said derailed his life and career so, so much. And they were just allegations, right? They, like, you know, we don't know if there's any fact to him or not, but, you know, all of a sudden he gets fired from, like, you know, Pirates of the Caribbean. I mean, not that he didn't already make like a half a, you know, billion dollars on it, but, like, everything, right? And I'm sure that he lost, like, a bunch of friends and credibility and blah, 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 blah. And it's all because of allegations. And that is terrifying to think about. And now to see the case and some things that are happening, and especially the internet's, you know, reaction, where it seems like the internet is 100% on Johnny Depp's side, right? And they're like, this girl is off her rocker. But yet she said something and Johnny Depp's career and life have been derailed. I mean, one of the things that he said, and I'm just going in right now, one of the things that, you know, he said was that the lawyer asked him, like, what would you say that these allegations from Mrs. Heard have done to your life? And he pondered for a second and he said, nothing short of everything. And I was like, damn.
Well, damn. And obviously we don't know, you know, what the truth is or what happened, but I will say, what I agree with what you're saying. You know, you can just, words have consequences these days. And look, if he was guilty, I get, you know, that all of those things should have happened, but it's starting to look more and more like he wasn't, and guilty enough to lose his, I mean, he was known as Jack Sparrow. He used to go to hospitals and children hospitals all the time as Jack Sparrow. He loved being Jack Sparrow. We loved him as Jack Sparrow, and that's gone. And Disney screwed him. And that's the problem with, like, this cancel culture shit. Like, they didn't even ask to find out what actually happened. They were like, oh God, we got to get out of this. And now he was like, I'll never go back to that. And that's what sucks, is like, he'll never be Jack Sparrow again. And now, yeah, years later, we're finally fleshing out what actually happened, because he had to sue finally to clear his name. But he said, you know, his family, his friends, it's a shitty situation. And it's tough to have an opinion about anything these days without getting yelled at. But I mean, this is just, I'm looking at my phone right now, Austin, because look, federal cases cannot be televised. So generally, so I am curious as to why they're allowing this to be televised. You're right that it should be kind of private, but also, I mean, I guess if neither side objects to it being televised, maybe they both were like, you know what? I want my side to be heard. And they're like, sure, you can let the cameras in.
Is there a difference between civil and criminal, though?
Yeah, but what I'm saying is like, if the judge feels like it'll be a distraction in the courtroom, you know, they're not going to allow it. But, you know, court TV has cases all the time, and they generally, it's usually just a state, you know, civil.
Another thing about this case that is, like, alarming to me is that, you know, he's on the stand. So it's like they have to act like they can ask him anything, right? And so he's having to implicate famous friends of his. Right. And it's like, if I was like Paul, you know, Bettany, I'd be like, oh my God, like, why is my name getting brought up right now? You know, it's like, it just sucks that it's like this case is affecting other people
listed as witnesses or code of. Yeah. I wonder, usually that wouldn't be relevant, right? It would be, have you done cocaine? Like, yes, but it's not relevant if he's done it with other people, unless they're trying to impeach their credibility. So are they, like, testifying in the case, or were they deposed?
Which, you know, yeah, Kirk, that's actually, like, a good question. And that, you know, is lawyer speak. And I bet that they were deposed. And that's the only reason that they could, you know, use names and such, because, you know, Johnny Depp was texting, you know, Paul Bettany things like, you know, I kill her now and, like, you know, help you hide the body. Ha ha ha. And it's like, okay, like, I don't think that anyone out there really thinks that they were going to kill her and hide the body, but like those text messages are used, and that's just like, God, Craig, it makes me want to go back to like, I don't know, man, maybe we should talk in like, you know, Dixie cups to each other so that like, you know, nothing that we text each other can ever be used in anything.
Well, I guess
it's crazy.
The legalese, you're right. If I wonder if he was like, dude, are we sure we really want to sue this girl? Like,
I really get brought in
and be like, Austin, can we just let this go? Can I give you some money? Maybe I'll say sorry for her because.
Sure, man. And
get roped in,
you know? And I've thought that. I've only thought about suing one person in my life. And then literally I was like, oh, is this just going to make it worse? And like, for what, you know, to win like 10 grand, like I'm not doing like, it.
It just opens the door to a lot of different things, especially as a public figure. That's why it is ballsy as shit what they're doing. And I will go and look at what the judge had to say with it being televised, because this shit is salacious. I mean, this is like, they had a toxic relationship.
I mean, you can't look anywhere, by the way, without there being like a, you know, Amber Heard poop meme. It's just like, or gosh. And like, you know, now for the next, I mean, obviously people like, you know, forget things and like they move on. And like, that's what always happens. You know, there's always something new and shiny to, you know, look at and focus at. But, you know, for the next however many years of her life, like, you know, I mean, fans like in public or anything might be like, oh shit, you know, she shit the bed. Like, it's crazy, man.
Right. You're already getting sued for like 50 million.
Wait, what? What's the law?
He's suing her for.
Oh, wait. Now he's suing her for the defamation.
No, yeah, that's this case. That's what they're doing. Johnny Depp is suing her for $50 million. He's the plaintiff and she's the defendant.
Sued. He's probably like, you have prevented me from working on this project, and now you owe me what they would have paid me.
Yeah, that. And then you know, another case happening right now is Black China is suing Chris Kardashian. Oh, and I think the Kardashians as a whole, and shit. I didn't realize how often these people get sued. Like, Chris actually gets sued so much, like the company as a whole, that she forgot what the litigation was at a point. She's like, wait, which one is this? Is this where China's suing like this or what? God. And then Kanye apparently said the same thing. He's deposed all the time. And you just got to, and there's nothing off the, like, so depositions, they can ask you anything. In the court, you can't admit evidence that said, you know, certain things, but in depositions they can ask you anything. And so in movies and TV
is shows, deposition the thing where like you show up with your lawyer and I show up with my lawyer and my lawyer, you know, asks you questions and you have to answer.
Yeah. And like, okay, when they say objection in movies and TVs, that's not right, because you can't really object. In the only objection you can have in a deposition is the form of a question, which it doesn't matter. So anyway, Chris was just like, I mean, they were asking her about like China like stabbing Tyga, then Kendall had to get, or Kylie had to get deposed to be like, I saw the knife wound. Like,
mo money, mo fucking problems, Craig.
Yeah, when you open litigation, I mean, shit goes awry. But I want to read, I think she was testifying today or tomorrow. I do want to read it more fully before having an opinion. But you know, I think the mistake here was, she went and wrote about it. You know, she didn't keep it in house. And look, I'm not saying that girls should ever keep violence or bad things in house, but in a mutually like toxic relationship or something, you know, she wrote that tell all basically. And
that's funny. That's funny that, you know, you say that, Craig.
Because why? Because that's not, I guess, been that was there. The opposite of the yeah, it's a sticky situation or a sticky line, you know, thin line to walk on, but.
No, I mean, look, like, you know, this all is, you know, and we just know what everyone else knows. I just do know that it's scary. Like this Johnny Depp and Amber Heard case, it freaks me out. Like, it freaks me out. It's like you thought that she was seemingly just like a girl next door type. And then, you know, Johnny Depp is Johnny Depp. I mean, you know, did I think for one second that Johnny Depp wasn't partying like a rock star at, you know, certain points? Hell no. Like, you know, he just looks like the kind of guy that would party. But like, you know, so what? You know, unless
the only testimony that made me laugh, I haven't seen that much of it, but it was a situation in which she was yelling at him and throwing bottles over his head or next to his head, and he was grabbing new bottles of vodka and pouring himself a shot, but he like reenacted it in such a like somber way. He'd be like, so then I grabbed the smaller bottle of vodka, put the shot glass out, poured myself of a shot of vodka, did shot of vodka. She grabbed that bottle, broke it against the wall. So I grabbed the bigger bottle of vodka, put the shot glass out, poured another shot. Like, it was just like, it was so like soothing kind of to listen to this like crazy story.
Well, Craig, I recently told you to watch a movie that's on Netflix, right? About the making of a movie during COVID. And it's a comedy, of course. And it's not the best movie. I don't remember what it's called, but yeah. Okay. The Bubble. And it basically shows, you know, the actors and actresses going mad because they have to quarantine for like, you know, 2 weeks, and then they finally get out and someone gets COVID and they have to quarantine again. Anyway, the director is talking to like a producer, and she's like, oh my God, I really like these people. And he was like, don't, they're all liars. It is their job to be professional liars. Do you understand? So when I see Johnny Depp talking, it's so soothing, but I'm like, he is an actor. Like, he knows how to act, and not saying that he's lying, but like, I mean, he's a really good actor, right? So he's probably acting his balls off. Like, if he's ever going to cry or if he's ever going to act like emotional, like, this is what he is paid to do, to act and to get you to believe his acting.
Yeah, I kind of want to see the jury that they both sides picked for this, because they're going to have some stories after this. But hey, let's take a quick commercial break and and we'll be right back.
Cerebral is an online mental health service that offers prescription medication, counseling, and therapy for anxiety, depression, ADHD, insomnia, and more. It is one of the few services that provides prescription medication online through a licensed provider and ships medication straight to your door. Connect with your counselor and therapist on your own schedule through your laptop or the Cerebral mobile app. Schedule sessions based on what's most convenient for you. You don't have to wait weeks to be seen. 80% of members see a provider within 5 days. You can do your sessions on a laptop or a phone, so you can always find an area at home where you're most comfortable. Affordable treatments that are 1/3 the price of traditional therapy. Within network, your monthly cost is even lower. 50% of Cerebral's clinicians self-identify as people of color. It's important to Cerebral to have the diversity so everyone can get the treatment that they deserve. And for listeners of this program, you can receive 65% off your first month of medication management and care counseling at cerebral.com/pillowsandbeer. Go to Cerebral, cerebral.com/pillowsandbeer for 65% off your first month. That's just a total of $30 to get started. Join Cerebral today on their mission and make quality mental health care accessible and affordable for all.
All right. Welcome back to this episode of Pillows and Beer. We're back in Charleston for the week. For a couple of days, I'm here with Austin Kroll and our buddy Nick Norris.
Nick is still in Chicago. How funny is that? He never came back. He was like, I'm never leaving.
Wait, that's actually pretty cool. What are you doing?
Yeah, Nick is still in Chicago.
Drinking, seeing museums, seeing the sights, all that kind of fun stuff, eating food, enjoying life.
Yeah, I didn't hear a single thing that you said.
Yeah, his audio is terrible today, but I guess he had to deal with us like that for a long time.
As did everyone else.
Hotel Wi-Fi.
But hey, we got some emails about a Springer update. Did you see these, Austin?
And this is great. This is great because...
Well, because we got some emails being like, Maury was legit, but we want to know more. So if you've been on Maury, please call in.
Okay, but yeah, Springer, like, that captivates me. So I'm stoked for this.
I know. I feel like you're a pro Springer guy. I was pro Maury. Okay, this says, I was just listening to your last couple of weeks of podcast episodes. I can also attest that the Jerry Springer Show is performative. My dad is a retired police chief, and he arrested a lady multiple times from our town who was on the Jerry Springer Show. Like, the other person who wrote in, she said she was paid and the show is scripted. Now, I mean, you are saying that your dad arrested this girl multiple times, though. So, I mean, I don't know how good of an actor or actress she was. I mean, look, you can be paid to come on and reveal yourself. Like, obviously you deserve a day rate for that, but
yeah, like I don't think that she came on and memorized some sort of script, right? They gave her some hard bullet points and were like, just act out, girl, you know, or something. And she's like, all right, you know, for $1,500 or $5,000. I mean, obviously I have no idea who this woman is, but you know, I just kind of gave her like an accent, you know, for like no reason. Cause that's
Southern stripper is what Alston is picturing.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, how much and what do I got to do? I don't do any of that funny business. They're like, no, just come on to Jerry Springer. And,
but then the other one says,
act a fool.
It said, I worked with this girl at a strip club for a couple of years and I had seen her on the show too. It is legit. I was listening to this week's podcast, heard them read my email I sent. I worked with this girl at a strip club for a couple of years and seen her on the show too. And it is legit. I'm sure it's a,
I love those contradicting emails, like those contradicting hot takes. One says it's completely scripted. I mean, I bet that you could find that too, Craig, about like, you know, our show, right? Like, you know, there are fans out there like, no, I'm second cousins once removed from somebody who used to be on Southern Charm or, you know, insert show here, and they said, right, and then you talked about so that makes me laugh, Craig, because once again, this is like OG reality TV. That's what Springer and Morty is.
Anyway, I was reading these questions, and one is about a plane crash, and it sucks because that plane in China just went down. So our condolences and thoughts to those families. But again, just like some of the recent plane crashes, it doesn't make any sense. If you've read like the flight data on it, it went from like 27,000 feet nosedive to the plant, like to the earth in like 45 seconds or something crazy.
Okay. And where was like, this plane headed?
It was in China. It was in the, like, and so I pulled up. So basically planes don't just nosedive like that unless they're shot out of the sky or if there's a bomb, but it, apparently the flight data right now, it shows that when it hit 10,000 feet, the pilots were able to like level off for a second and then it just nosedived the last 10,000 feet, which means apparently it was intact when it crashed. I don't know. But anyway, this question is basically saying indifferent if the crew on the plane for some reason were like poisoned. So the pilots and the crew just like died or passed out. Would you panic, try and fly the plane or jump out with a parachute?
Okay. So this is an interesting question. Not what I thought that we were going to be answering, but it is interesting because even when I have turbulence on an airplane, I'm like, I'm gripping on to the thing and I'm like, oh my gosh, if this is it, just make peace. This is your time. But I feel like, and like, I would want to think that because you can't do anything else. I mean, Craig, it's not like under every seat is like a parachute, right?
Right.
So like I would try to fly the damn plane. I mean, I would pull up on those damn things. I'd put on, you know, the headphones and be like, someone tell me what to do, right?
Yeah.
And like pull up on the sticks or the whatever you call it and just try to level it out. I don't know, man. You know, I don't
well,
know.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's
you know, either way, I mean, we're going down. So might as well try to fly the damn thing if I can.
I mean, that's the answer. And you try to establish a communication with ground control. I mean, I've talked to my uncle about this. There's a lot of planes out there that basically, but they're usually smaller private planes that can land on autopilot, but these big commercial liners really can't. But, you know, I think I asked him a couple years this question and he was like, it would just be very difficult for anyone who's never landed a plane to successfully do it. But you could give yourself a shot. Like we all grew up playing video games. I know it is nothing like that, but I mean, at least you could give the plane a shot and like come crash landing into like a field or the airport or something. I mean, you got to have hope that you'd be able to do it.
Well, you got to have hope. I mean, you know, it sucks to say this, but like it goes back to 9/11. It's like the people on that flight were like, look, we're not just going to go down, right? As like, you know, you're sitting here, like we have heard that this has happened and this has happened. And then they tried to overtake the plane. And
yeah.
I mean, at a certain point, you're like, what am I going to do? Just like sit here like a sheep? Or am I going to like try to freaking fly this thing?
Exactly. I just,
not that
I
we're
watched.
the most qualified, but I
No, but
mean,
we would jump into
and neither
action.
is anyone else, neither is anyone else qualified unless you are. And that's a perfect scenario.
Well, like on Flight 93 or United 93, which was
right.
like, I bawled my eyes out in it, obviously, because the endings, it's just so
phone
emotional.
Call to his wife. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's when I lost it. Yeah. I just got the chills when he said that. He's like, honey, there's been like a hijacking, but I love you. Tell my parents I love you. Like, let's go. Let's roll. He said, let's roll. And, they handled it great. Like, they got it open and then it was just too late, but they had a pilot with them. So hopefully there's a pilot and hopefully none of us ever have to deal with that. Jesus. Paige and I just had a white knuckle landing the other day and I was trying to keep it together for her. I was on the aisle seat. But my entire arm was wrapped around my armrest and I was just like squeezing. I mean, we dropped at one point for like 3 seconds, which doesn't sound like a long time, but usually when you hit those big air pockets, like you drop for a split second. I mean, it was 3 seconds and you were like, are we going down right now? But yeah, flying through storms is no fun. Like, I don't want to get on a plane. We were flying from Detroit to Charleston and I was just like, I this is getting to the point where it's not even fun. Apparently another survival question. How would you go about surviving a zombie apocalypse?
Yeah, I'm reading this right now. Here's the thing, man. Here's the thing. I if I had like a bat and like, nails and a bat and things like that, like I certainly could fend off a shit ton of zombies. Now, I'm not sure, Craig. I mean, let's just call a spade a spade. If like the water were to go off and like my power, were to go off, I'm dead. I'm dead. Like I'm not equipped to go into nature and like build like a lean-to and survive. Like, I'm dead, but like I could certainly crack some zombie skulls before that time happened. That's for sure.
Yeah. I mean, look, here's the thing. There's, hold on 1 second. So Zombieland is amazing. And if we could live in Zombieland for that period of time, it would be so cool. I mean, they just like, that's how it should be handled. Like running over people with snow plows and like machine guns and
what movie
I'm talking
about? Yeah, with Woody.
And yeah, Jesse Eisenberg.
Jesse Eisenberg and Emma something.
But the truth is that there's no sense of community in our country anymore. And what I mean by that is like when I was in the Bahamas, if shit went down, the whole island would have come together and like worked together to protect themselves from outsiders. And, you would have shared resources and work together as a team. I have a feeling in our country, I mean, like it's going to be neighbor versus neighbor. Maybe you have a friend, maybe you have a couple neighbors, but if shit hits the fan in this country, we're all going to be our own worst enemies. So I'd probably try to make my way to like Key West and make friends and just be like, let's blow the bridges and drink daiquiris and just
until
chill.
Until our supply runs out. I mean, if it's like the end of days, which we've answered this question before of like, what we would do if it was like our last day on earth. But this is, I mean, the zombie apocalypse one, I know that everyone out there's thought about it because we've seen so many shows with zombies and whatnot. So I don't, Craig,
I mean, realistically,
Craig, I don't really know how to shoot guns. Like, I mean, I've shot them before, but like, I don't own guns and that's for a very good reason. And I like, if someone was like, okay, kid, all right, man, here's like an assault rifle, defend yourself. I'd be like, what in God's name am I going to do with this? Like,
well, you would figure it out.
I mean, I guess
I think that's why I want like a boat in my backyard, because that's what I would want. I would go like hijack someone's yacht and just live on the yacht and search for petrol, I guess. I don't know, but
I don't know,
or
either, man, because
we get an
food.
RV.
You need food, and that's where happens with all these movies, right? Everything's going well. Oh wait, we need more supplies. Who wants to go to town? Oh my God, you just brought one back with you on the boat to this whole area that like was uninhabited by zombies, and now you brought one back here. Thank you for ruining everything.
Yeah, that's true.
Like the point of every single movie.
I think we'd have a small group and we'd just like find the middle of nowhere and try to chill. But I think my ideal situation is living on a island or big boat, and I guess you just fish and hope the zombies can't swim. But you're right, it's going to take one other boat to show up, and you have to decide whether to kill them or to let them on the island. And if you choose wrong, I mean, you're screwed.
I know, and kind of like what you said, people are turning on other people. It's like, I don't know you, you cannot come here, I'm sorry. No.
Yeah, go find your own island, dude.
I mean, that's yeah, well, people turn into savages, Craig.
Well, listen, guys, so check us out on our Instagrams, follow Austin's beer company and his personal
beers.
Yeah. And then you got Kroll, the Warrior King. You got Pillows and Beer, Sewing Down South, all that good stuff. But look, we really do. The reason that we do all of this is to have the opportunity to meet y'all in person. It's the same reason I did the pillow parties. It's the same reason we loved BravoCon. And now we've finally gotten to a point where Austin and I get to do it together. So we started, you know, during quarantine on Instagram Lives, and now we get to do it in front of all of you. So,
I mean, that's basically it. I mean, it's basically just an amazing time for Craig and I to be able to interact with as many of you as possible, get as many of you laughing, to take as many pictures, to have as much fun, to do all of the things. And that's honestly like what is fueling me at the moment, Craig. I'm like, this is what I want to focus on at the moment, with so much outside noise happening. I want to focus on